On today's jam-packed episode of the Glue Guys, Brian and I are going to discuss that fantastic, the game of the year, Hawks-Nets, Nets victory. We'll figure out if the Nets are back.
Wow.
Your emails, so many great emails, netspot@gmail.com, and news around the league. Wow, Brian, it's like an old show to represent the jerseys that the Nets.
A classic Glue Guys, a classic episode. Coming right up.
Before we get started on today's show, this podcast is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together with the best of live and on demand. Learn more at DirecTV.com. Guys, this is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys, NetsDaily.com, TheAthletic, and show by the paywall at TheAthletic.com/GlueGuys. Brian!
Michael, give it to me. Let's go. Let's go.
The Nets are back!
Does it feel that way? Doesn't it just... Howard? Is that Howard Deaning? You going full Howard Deaning? We're in Michigan?
Yeah!
Going to Ohio?
The Nets are back.
Does it feel that way?
Do you want that louder? Do you want it more in your ears?
That was perfect.
The Nets are back.
Jeez. Content warning for people. You got to warn people. hey, that was a game, Mike. That was a game, buddy.
You were there. Tell people what was the environment like.
It was turnt, man. It was good. It was turnt on a Wednesday. It was vibey. I will say that. Like, it was hard to... My takes on this are going to be just pretty dumb and hot because, like, you know, when you're in the zone like that, you can't really your analysis drops way off and you're just in your feels. You're just feeling the vibe. You're vibing out.
You have as you say, you have the Jim Beam in your bootstrap.
That's right. That's right.
And you're paying those $14 Miller Lights.
Exactly. And you're focused. It's an energy thing. It's more of a love energy thing that you're focused on than X's and O's. But it was great. It's good stuff, Mike. You watched.
Oh my gosh. Brian and I yesterday for The Athletic, we did a live audio. The Athletic has a new feature where, you know, it's like Clubhouse or any of those sort of live audio things. So we were doing a live audio pregame show in a way where we discussed the upcoming Hawks matchup. And I was boldly saying, besides the season opener against the Bucks, this Hawks game was the biggest game. It was bigger than the Heat game to me, because after losing the Heat game, the Nets needed to play another playoff team and beat them and play well and prove themselves.
Yeah.
And they played the best they played all year.
Yeah.
The ball was moving.
Whipping.
It was popping.
Whipping.
It was, and Joe Harris said whipping this in the post game with Michael Grady when he had the post game interview, was that, you know, Grady was like, because Joe Harris had his best game of the year and said, Joe, you know, what contributed to that? And it was basically people making the extra pass. And it was true. I know it's a cliche, but the ball was moving. Patty Mills, LaMarcus Aldridge, Joe Harris, Javon Carter, all the role players, much more involved in this game than in previous. Bembry. Bembry heads are coming out.
Yeah, the Bembry heads should be coming out. I'll have to go back and watch it super closely, but my feeling was James Harden didn't start off having a great game, and my feeling was that kind of changed. But at one point, I mean, if I could just attribute it, like, I do think that he's sort of the engine of this Magic the Gathering deck, you know, because you know, when he is a gravity absorbing, you know, super planet, when he's Jupiter, right, and not a small planet that doesn't not Pluto, it matters.
Not a planet, but so bad
they
example.
They go back and forth on that. I feel like they go back and forth.
I've canceled. Yeah. I've canceled
fair,
it.
Fair. But when he's actually pulling gravity,
CK of planets,
and getting attention from more than one defender in an offensive set, it actually really truly opens up the metaverse to us, and allows for like the necessary distance for for Blake Griffin to actually get a little daylight and shoot his crusty three, which started to fall. And, you know, that among so many other positive things are allowed to happen just once that one domino falls. That was sort of my experience, but I don't know if you agree with that.
No, I mean, Grady said, and I'm going to reference Michael Grady a lot here, I guess, but The Nets had 34 assists on 43 made baskets. So what, 75% of the shots that they made from the floor were assisted, which is a really high percentage, which proves out the theory that they were sharing the ball. It was less ISO heavy. And like, so it's a great one game thing. It is still hard. I mean, when you have Kevin Durant and James Harden, you're going to fall into the ISO thing. But this game showed, I don't know if it's the ceiling, because I even think they could go to a higher level. Like, Blake could have played better. He was 2 for 9 from the field. You know, there's still like some extra room for them to grow. But this was like where they should be if they're operating at full efficiency, right? Mm. They had Kevin Durant had a great game. He is so good at basketball, yeah, Brian.
It's pretty ridiculous. I was talking about
this. We actually don't talk about it enough.
I was talking about this with George, with GW, and George DeKai. We were sort of thinking about, because like when you're watching enough, I feel like we've watched enough Kevin Durant to have it kind of be like normal, you know, and that's a problem. But like the way that he, the way that he just like when he decides to shoot is really interesting, because like he doesn't really need to be that open, you know, like, so it seems sort of arbitrary. It's like, I guess I'm good enough here. Like, I'll just pull it from here, I guess. You know, like it must be so fun to be Kevin Durant playing basketball, just because it's like, you know, it really like, I just like, could I go a little bit closer? Probably. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You know, I'll just shoot from here and like mostly make it. Yeah.
Well, and then to make the decision, actually on this time, I'm going to go all the way to the basket and just dunk.
Yeah. I feel just like I feel like a dunk coming on, you know, and just go do that. It's like,
I do. Yeah. So I do want to say, and I don't have the statistics in front of me quite yet, and I could look them up, but you know, that would really slow down the show and bog it down. I remember last year when we were trying to analyze whether Kevin Durant is fully back, right? And one of the key indicators was, how often is he dunking during the game? How big of a percentage of his shots are dunks or shots at the rim, right? Mm-hmm. And what is his successful percentage of those shots? And if you're recovering from injury, you're much less likely to go to the bucket. This year, he's been going to the hole,
getting there
to a much greater degree than last year. He's not doing it to get fouled. He's doing it to dunk the ball in people's faces. You know, is he like 100% fully back, right? It almost doesn't matter at this point. This is who he is. And what he is, you know, is he the best player in the NBA? I'm sure we could talk about that all year. He's the most devastating offensive force in the NBA. I don't think that's a question, right? And like the most easily sort of fittable offensive piece, where Giannis is this bull with the ball and he'll miss 10 shots in a row, but he'll continue to attack the rim. And that's what makes him great, is that he's relentless and like the uber athlete that he is, where Durant is skill, length, just there's nothing that will ever stop Kevin Durant from shooting the ball and getting a pretty good look at the rim, as you were just saying. So, God, he was so good. This team, Joe Harris had his by far his best game. He was so confident from three. Mm. There was just real like, and he was open. There's multiple times when he had a wide open three, and not even Joe Harris. We got James Harden had at least two wide open looks from three when the ball moved to him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how much they were moving the ball in this game, that James Harden is getting open looks. It was a delightful game. It was what you wanted to see from this Nets team that had been struggling a little bit this year.
Do you want to, the mailbag is primarily about Nets stuff. Do you want to do that? And then
let's dive right in. Dive right in.
Let's see if we can pull this off, Mike. Yeah. First up, cheer boy, Ryan, a.k.a. Da Bronx in Da Discord. We did it, Mike. I feel like that was locked in. This is a classic Glue Guys episode. We're bringing back
now
all
I'm going to
have
to like reset it, and it's just going to start playing again. And like, I'm just going to let it play out. I'm just going to all of them play out. The system that Brian and I are using is something that you would have like gotten onto your Mac computer when you're in school playing Oregon Trail.
Yeah.
This sound effect system is from that era.
Okay.
But it sounds fantastic.
The golden era.
Who are we talking to here?
This is Ryan, a.k.a. Da Bronx and Da Discord. Shout out to the Discord. Sup, boys. Can you give me three good reasons? So here we are. We're shaving off. You know, we start with positives. But now this is in classic Nets fan tradition. We're going to needle. And he says, can you give me three good reasons Javon baby TLC Carter should be getting minutes over Cam? And so what's good about this is that there is Cam standing baked into it, right? It's not just like Javon Carter for anybody. It's specifically for my guy, Cam. Well, Mike, what do you say? Do you want to take that on? I mean, Javon Carter's, I think he's finally in
the positive PER territory.
He's trimming the fat. He's trimming, you know what it is? He is noted that he's like, maybe I should not shoot this one extra shot, you know, that puts me into the negative. Cause I saw a little bit more restraint from him last night, and maybe we can build on that. I'm not
build on the restraint,
build on that restraint.
You should act like a Puritan in like New England times, yes. Like around the Salem witch trials. Is that, I don't know if any of that's accurate, but he should be a Puritan.
He should be a Puritan. I think that's not incorrect, actually. He should be a Puritan in terms of being like a defense first, somewhat offensive initiator, but almost never finisher in terms of his usage. Almost never. Not that I'm not.
We're laughing because it feels so sad.
It feels sad. Yeah. But just until we see a little bit more like comfort level, less force. But anyways,
let's bring the true statistics here. So if people want to know what Javon Carter is doing, he's averaging 1.1 points per game, 2 rebounds and 1.4 assists. His PER was negative until he had the monster game against the Pistons where he scored 8 points. So now he's at a 2.85 PER. Not great. Not great, Bob. But he only played 6 minutes in the Hawks game.
Yeah.
And I do wonder, I know this isn't a direct correlation, but Bruce Brown played 31 minutes. Bruce Brown got full starter minutes. Not that he just started. He got full starter minutes. And Bembry got 15 minutes in the game. And I know that Javon Carter is a pure ball handler point guard and Bembry's a wing. But if Patty Mills is out there, which he is, he's guaranteed about 20 minutes a game himself. You don't always need to play Javon Carter as well, particularly in the James Harden, Patty Mills lineups. And Javon Carter had been out there in the Patty Mills, James Harden lineups. So, and Bembry has gotten a little bit more playing time as we're going on. He had his best game of the year against the Hawks, 15 minutes playing D on Trae Young. You know, the thing that Javon Carter brings, if one of the three reasons that we're going to call out, is he's the defense guy. He's the pest, the Pat Beverly archetype. And the thing about Pat Beverly is that he is able to shoot threes, and he's always been able to score enough to justify being on the floor and being mainly about defense. Javon Carter isn't that so far this year. I think, why is he still getting minutes over Cam Thomas? I think it's going to be interesting. I think if they get to a game where Harden is sitting, they're going to pull the Cam Thomas parachute out, right? Don't you think like Cam Thomas is like, they're just letting him stew sort of on the bench a bit. And then when they really need someone who can run an offense and get buckets, Cam Thomas is going to be unleashed on the world.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the like paying your dues stuff is going to go on for a while longer for sure. Like, I don't even know that if James Harden, for whatever reason, was stacking DMPs tomorrow, like that would, that Cam Thomas is the next most plausible person off the bench for him.
We kind of joked about this a couple episodes ago, but would you put Cam Thomas in over Javon Carter? Like right now, would you, if you were Steve Nash, if you Freaky Friday with Steve Nash, would you insert Cam Thomas into Javon Carter's minutes?
I just think that they're different. They're two different players. Like two, yeah. Like T O O, to sort of like think that's a, that would be the you know, because like instead of TWO, you know, two different players, they're very different. And so I don't think that's like the person that gets subbed out. I'm trying to think of who like their microwave guy off
Patty
the bench.
Mills.
Basically, it's Patty Mills. Yeah, I mean,
if Patty got hurt or if he was sitting for some games, I think that's more
accurate. Yeah, I hate to say it, but that does feel more correct, that we're going to be, you know, this Javon Carter experiment seems to be, you know, it's waning a little bit right now in favor of Bembry, who I think is really eating into his minutes. That's really the guy that's been doing Javon his minutes damage.
The thing with Javon, his defense is good. Like I think it's better than, so part of what I like about the makeup of this bench unit is that there's many more players on this current Nets team than the one last year who, like, really defense is the thing they do. Bembry is the thing. That's what he does. Javon Carter, Paul Millsap, more at this career is more about being smart on defense than doing anything on the offensive end of the floor. Javon Carter, if he continues, like, never to be able to shoot,
yeah,
it's going to make it really hard to, like, teams are just not going to respect his shot at all. And yeah, he's going to be wide open.
To be some kind of a threat. And he kind of wanted to prove he kind of like puffer fished in the beginning of the season. He was like, I am a threat. Watch out. And I was like, all right, we'll see. And then he went, back to being a normal fish. But
good.
Yeah, good. Next up, cheer boy. That's Corey Kantor. Man, it just feels right having this Cena drop back. So he's got multiple questions. I'll go through them quick. We can go one. So first of all, dear Glue Guys, always love your pod. So sending a note. So thank you for the love. Loving you back. One, has Joe Harris gotten better at defense and rebounding this year? He was awesome during the Atlanta game. Michael.
No.
Okay.
He isn't. He's been one of the worst defensive players.
Wow.
And his rebounding is about the same. He was awesome during the Atlanta game. So maybe this is him turning it around a little bit. But he's been bad so far this year.
Two, favorite new bench guy this far in. I've always loved Patty, but Bembry has been a lot of fun. From the games played, what's your take? I mean, obviously we've been, you know, singing the Bembry gospel, but LaMarcus continues to
number one.
And then he's added a new dimension to his game last night in shooting some threes. It's been
shot four threes, which is the most all year. He hit two of them.
Yeah.
Looks good from there. He's getting more comfortable. The dart throwing dinosaur is getting more and more comfortable from three. And I said this on Twitter. If he, in fact, can add that, like if he shoots, I think it's possible, 40% from three, because he's going to be wide open and he's so good from mid range. There's no reason why from three he doesn't have that ability. If he can start hitting threes and starts taking them where he feels kind of comfortable, and again, just four a game would be enough, that's going to make the Nets bench units extremely hard to guard, because your boy LaMarcus is going to be supplying a lot of points. He's going to be pouring it in from deep. So LaMarcus number one, Patty Mills number two. I mean, it's probably, I mean, I do love myself Bembry right now. Like Bembry has been
watching him in person too. We've talked about this, but he's way fast. He's like a fast, super athletic,
Bembry.
Yeah.
And not LaMarcus
Bembry. No. And he just looks, I mean, like if I'm, you know, I've talked about it, but his fluidity, his athleticism, natural body control is way better than most like kind of 3-and-D guys. Not that he's even a three guy, but D guys. Yeah, so super duper stoked on Bembry for sure. Next up, three, does the Nets fan base overrate Klax? I tend to think so a little. Hasn't shown he can stay in game shape. We've talked about that pretty extensively. But
I mean, I think that's an entire podcast. Does the fan base overrate Klax?
So, yes. I mean, there's definitely like Klax stands. But, you know, that's it makes sense. I mean, there's... You know, there's some hopes and dreams riding on Claxton at the moment, and he's having a hard time. Did they ship him off to like Get in Shape Island or something? Is that where he is? Are these DNPs like non-COVID illness? Like you need to go like sit on a Peloton? Is that?
Well, we've joked about this before, but it's like that nowhere land in Dragon Ball Z where you just train and time goes by in a minute, but you're there for a year.
The hyperbolic chamber.
Yeah, and you're just there training in the cloud land. That's where Claxton needs to go. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The unknown illness that's not COVID-19, it may be COVID-20 at this point, Brian, who knows? He's just continually sick. So he is a young man. I think we forget that he's 22. And I don't know if you remember what it's like to be 22, but you're still a baby.
I was hardy at 20. Actually, I remember when I first moved to New York, I got food poisoning and the flu like maybe five times in like 5 months. Like it was just like constantly getting annihilated.
Yeah.
And it's just was like, Subway, you know, it was the first time we're in the subway a lot and not washing my hands. So, you know how it is. And four, Mike, can get your drops ready for this one. Finally, just going to say it. The Nets are back.
The Nets are back.
Beautiful. Well done. Next up.
Thank you, Corey.
Cheer boy, Aaron Fever.
Two heads an amazing email address, which we won't dox, but amazing.
Hey, boys. First off, enjoy your fantasy lead this week. Smeltz won't last long. Guess you're playing Aaron in fantasy.
I thought you already have. You're already on top of me on fantasy.
My fantasy team sucks. By the way, if you guys aren't in the Discord, you don't know that Mike and I have a two-conference fantasy extravaganza going on right now, and you're missing out because...
With our people. With the people.
That's where the true Glue Nation
convenes
on a daily basis. So link to the Discord. It's an invite in the Twitter bio, and also if you're on YouTube, it's in the details below.
If people don't know what Discord is,
yeah, it's just it's a big chat app where basically all of my, you know, I spend pretty much all day, just have it on the second monitor, and you know, people just come in, and it's like a big chat room for Nets. There's also, you can hop in voice channels and, you know, screen sharing channels and all kinds of fun stuff. So big recommend it in general, but also for the Glue Guys Discord. Secondly, it has been a hot topic on the Discord. Shout out to the Discord. Who is the most handsome Net? We need you both to weigh in and give us your top five. Confirm that it is not Patty Mills. Wow. What is the Patty Mills hate? This is an interesting one. I'll give you my top two. This is the way I sort of think about it. Like, you know, I am a het cis male, so I have... Like my, you know, the people who are actually super attracted to dudes tell me that Nick Claxton is a cute bro, but then for me personally, like who I want to give big like man hugs to is James Harden. I want to horseplay. You know, I want to roughhouse with James Harden. That's how I communicate that just, it's more of like a body thing. You know, I just want to give a flying chest bump. You know,
I guess for me, I mean, Nick Claxton just is like a beautiful human. Like I get that. I get the vibe. Kessler Edwards, very handsome. I feel like
you've been big on Kessler.
His like whole like far. West Coast vibes. Yeah, he was on my fantasy team for very long. Patty Mills, beautiful human. The ugliest Net. No, he won't do that. Yeah, and I'll give one shout out to Bruce Brown, friend of the show. I don't know how handsome he is, but. He looks a little more built this year.
Sort of like handsome. He's like a pug, you know. He's sort of like he's giving pug vibes. Next,
very handsome team.
Yeah,
come on,
just all the way around. And Kevin Durant, I love, you know, love the way Kevin Durant looks. He's a little puggishness too. Next up, cheer boy, that's Jason from Brooklyn. I'm trying to. You know, when people actually sign off with something different, I try to respect it. You know, not giving all the Christian names, but what can you do? Anyways, hey guys, loving the energy I'm seeing from this team, especially on the defensive side. And then what do you think changes when Nick Claxton comes back? We can get to that. A lineup of Clax, LaMarcus, KD, Bembry, /Bruce, /Mills, /Harden seems absolutely wild, and I hope we see some minutes. Please discuss which of those lineups give you the warm and fuzzies. Sorry, excuse me. So we've talked about this, and I think that my the analogy that I'll use to describe how we've been playing Bruce Brown to start the first quarter and then taking him out pretty quickly after for Patty Mills, I'm calling this the pyrotechnics. This is the first quarter pyrotechnics to you know, light up the stage a little bit with Bruce Brown's energy and then quickly get back into our more spacey offensive plans that we have. I love all the Bruce Brown minutes. I am seeing no flaws in having him, especially in moments where we're feeling lackluster. It's just a jolt. We've talked about the Fast and the Furious,
Nitrous oxide.
NOS. The NOS tank.
Aluminum tank.
He's the NOS tank. I like that part of the rotation. Yes. We haven't seen enough like consistency in terms of the combinations to have like my, you know, who are the bang bros. But you know, I gotta love my Bruce Brown minutes and the Bembry minutes. I like having them staggered. Don't need too many of that for spacing issues. Especially if James Harden comes back and starts being more spacey. I like that. So I don't know. Where do you land on all this?
Well, I have like two different answers and they both accomplish two different things, and it's like high low pizza. It's like DeFaro's pizza. There's the DeFaro's pizza lineup, which is like, you know, the top end, high end, special experience. This would be the lineup I would close a game with. So it's Durant, it's Harden. LaMarcus Aldridge, Patty Mills, and Joe Harris. So you have, you know, I consider LaMarcus a shooter, even though three-point shooting is new to him relatively. He's the best. He's like the best mid-range shooter in basketball right now. That's all spacing. That's deadly shooters everywhere. If Harden and KD are cooking, you're going to create an open shot for Patty Mills or Joe Harris or LaMarcus Aldridge. It's an extremely tough lineup to defend. Maybe on the other side of the floor, it's pretty weak. But I'm going to feel confident that at least offensively, any guy, like, you're going to get an open shot on every possession, and the chances of that open shot going in is great. And then my Domino's Pizza lineup is the Bembry, Javon Carter, Paul Millsap, James Johnson, Bruce Brown, like, mush and gush, the tough Domino's, guy lineup.
Domino's Pizza.
The big shoulders, sharp elbows, people, everyone's jam-packed, running on the floor, bouncing into each other, and no one's scoring points. No one on the other team and no one on the Nets is scoring any points. I like to see both lineups. Like, I like sort of the extreme examples of both. I do think at the closing of games, and we've already seen it, LaMarcus is the big man who will be closing games as long as he's, you know, out there and healthy. Because Blake has gotten a lot of closing minutes still. They still really value what Blake does. He hasn't been shooting the ball well at all this year so far. But even in that Hawks game, Blake got 31 minutes, and he only had 7 points. He was 2 for 9 from the field, but he had 7 rebounds, 5 assists. He got another charge. Of course he did. I think they really still like what he brings onto the floor. LaMarcus is, you know, the better one. So, you know, there's still, what's fun about this season, Brian, is we're still figuring out what our tastes are, right? True. Like, we still don't know exactly what we like.
And we haven't talked much about Paul Millsap at all, who feels like the much more ready replacement for, if we ever wanted to replace some of Blake's minutes, which I don't necessarily need to or want to yet.
I don't think they will.
But that decision could still be looming to some extent. Michael, that is the emails that I selected. Thank you to everybody else that we didn't get to. We'll be doing more of this now that we get our drops going. So, like, things are firing on all cylinders now, Mike.
Well, I have a special email from your boy, Mike Smeltz. Brian, I just introduced myself. Here's an email.
You emailed yourself?
Brian, yeah, I'm emailing this to you.
Okay.
Hey, what happened to the Glue Guys YouTube page a couple of days ago?
That's hilarious. Yeah, I don't know what happened, man. We got nuked from orbit for no good reason by YouTube in the middle of the night. It was a very strange thing, Mike, on a potentially divisive episode about Kyrie Irving's Morpheus meme posting.
So yeah, let's really set the scene, because not everyone understands that our YouTube page had went away for 24 hours.
Yeah.
So what did we do? We did a podcast on Monday or Tuesday. I guess it would be...
It was Monday.
It doesn't matter. Whatever the most recent episode was, right?
Right.
We did the whole little bit at the end, which I thought was good and respectful and not at all ridiculous, where we analyzed Kyrie Irving's Instagram, his most recent Instagram posts, including the one that he sent out about Morpheus.
Yeah.
And we talked about that, and we posted the visual of our episode to YouTube like we always do. And our YouTube is back if you want to dive in. And this episode is on YouTube as well while you're listening to this. And we included that discussion. And later that night, Brian, who monitors our email, got an email from Google.
Yeah.
The Alphabet Corporation, letting us know that our account has been suspended due to breaking community guidelines.
Not just suspended, but suspended permanently. they said we deleted your channel. Yeah.
So Brian appealed it, and they immediately got back to him again and said, "You've been suspended." Yeah.
Your appeal and shove it is what they told me. Where the sun don't shine, Michael.
Now, I think I can say safely that you like to dabble in conspiracy theories. And I, yes, you yes,
do.
It's fine. Yeah, you do. And I like to think I'm a victim at all times. I like to think people are, you know, taking my ideas, or, you know, I'm a victim. But in this circumstance, we began to see some very strange tweets from people either adding us or just in general, like, saying things of, like, one person said on Twitter, before our page was taken down, they said, the Kyrie haters are going to be silenced soon. I was like, whoa, that's intense. Then someone added us and said something similar to that. And then when our page was taken down, they added us and said, hey, anyone notice that the @BKGlueGuy's YouTube page is down?
Yeah.
And Brian engaged with that person. Another person, when we revealed on Twitter that our YouTube page was taken down, tweeted at us and said, maybe that's why you shouldn't be making comments about Kyrie and vaccinations.
Yeah. There was,
so there's a lot of that chatter out there.
There's some conspiracizing to be done here, but there's nothing confirmed. Who knows what it could have been? I don't want to go out on, it's fun to think that we've been,
Ryan,
this is your victim complex.
You explain this because I don't understand this as well as you do. How would it be possible for people who don't control the page to knock out our page in a way? What happens? What would be the process?
So we have a baby YouTube channel. We have a small YouTube channel. It'd be very strange, if not for a copyright flag or something like that, for YouTube to just swoop in and nuke your channel, unless it's being mass reported, is my understanding. So it feels possible that that's what's happening. I don't want to put that out into the universe because let me just say this. Can we layer this on here before
layer?
Because layers. Because if there are Kyrie fans out there who are, you know, thinking that we are anti-Kyrie in any conceivable way, we're not. We're very pro Nets and pro Kyrie winning championships on the Nets. What we want is for him to come back as soon as possible so we can stack these mother loving championships, Michael. And, you know, our criticisms are that he's wasting time playing touch football in Paramus. That's my concern. I don't like that I hate wasted talent. And I want him to come back and play basketball as soon as possible. For me, that's getting a vaccine. I get that that's triggering for some people. But, like, look, we're as soon as he comes back, I'm going to be rooting for Kyrie Irving again. You know, I'm rooting for him to do good things. Yeah.
And we happen to point out, which we're comfortable to do, the contradictions that Kyrie seems to live when he says he wants to be the voice of the voiceless, or reportedly does so, and then he doesn't speak, and then he puts out an Instagram post about Morpheus.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well,
there's no explanation.
This is also just maybe like a difference in approach to being fans of things. Like, I've been watching the Nets since I was 10 years old or something. It's a pretty cynical thing to be a fan of this franchise for that long. Anyway, and in general, you know, I'm an East Coast guy. Like, my dearest friends I roast on a regular basis, and it's not because I dislike them, it's because I love them. So I'm roasting, I reserve the right to roast Kyrie Irving out of love, because I want him to come back and I don't want him to ruin his career over some dumb shit like this. But, you know, that's not out of any, like, not out of an angry place. I don't want anything bad for him. I want to win these chips.
All love. So I just want to wrap up and on the YouTube thing. YouTube's back.
We got to pay. Thank you. Yes. You guys know, I'm not going to name names, but for the people that helped, and one dude in super particular who helped get us back online, super duper appreciate it. There was, you know, the sun never sets on Glue Nation, and we've got some power brokers in the Discord. So super thank you. You guys know who you are. Much love.
Yeah. And I do want to say, and you said this, it is so odd and strange and unusual for a YouTube channel of our size, where all we do is post the Zooms of our podcasts, to be removed and treated in this way. So there does have to be some type of nefarious forces out there that led to this.
It's possible.
And we see you.
Mm.
And we're not afraid.
Wow. Fighting the good
Brian's
fight.
Afraid. I'm not afraid.
Fighting the good fight. I am afraid. Wow. I'm afraid. So you've done it. You've successfully instilled the fear of the vax god in me.
Well, let's do this. Take a quick break. Coming back, news around the league. Here's a little preview of what we're going to be discussing, Brian.
The New York Knicks look like straight trash.
Love it. Love that.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And we're back, Brian. Are you ready? Buckle up. The drops are back. Are you ready for...
It's the news!
All right, go. Do it live!
News Around the League is here.
Classic.
Thank you, everyone who is doing News Around the League. I'm going to share my screen with Bri. If you are listening to the podcast, you could go on YouTube and watch. There's a visual component that we're adding to News Around the League and other segments. This is News Around the League. Brian, do you see my screen?
I do. Let me adjust mine and do a little dipsy-do.
A dipsy-do, a dipsy-do. News Around the League, a long-running segment where we take news around the league. First off, we will start off here in New York City. We discussed this a little bit on our live audio show. If you don't know, Eric Adams won the mayoral election in New York City, and he has said some interesting things that maybe relates to the Nets, but it maybe doesn't. The big takeaway, so what Eric Adams did is he went on a press tour on the day after the election. He went on MSNBC, CNN, New York One, a whole bunch of different places. And one of the things that he was asked about was about vaccine mandates. Now, the one quote that's getting a lot of play is what he said on Morning Joe, the MSNBC program, that he's going to take a look at vaccine mandates. They're going to revisit vaccine mandates. Now, the question was actually about vaccine mandates regarding city workers, public municipal workers, not basketball players, not Broadway performers, but city workers. Well, the biggest NBA reporter there is, even though I work for The Athletic, I can say that Woj has a pretty big audience. Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN did something very unusual, Brian.
Okay.
Woj tweeted out a link to a New York Post story saying, essentially, the New York Post says that Eric Adams, the mayor-elect of New York City, says he will revisit vaccine mandates that could relate. This is what Woj is saying. That could relate to Brooklyn Nets star Kyrie Irving, who is, you know, still out being unvaccinated, is not with the team. That is very unusual. I just want to stress that is so unusual for Woj. Woj basically only tweets news that he's gotten, his own stories, or a few select stories from his staff at ESPN. He doesn't really go sharing good stories he's read from other news outlets, right?
No.
So I had a few things where I kind of disagreed with Woj for sharing that, because like what Eric Adams is really talking about is like firefighters and cops who, don't want to be vaccinated. He's not really talking about Kyrie Irving, but here's what Woj said on ESPN, on ESPN Countdown leading into the Nets Hawks game last night. This is Woj on ESPN.
Eric Adams, the mayor-elect in New York City, talked today about revisiting possibly January 1 when he takes over as mayor, the city's vaccine mandates for government workers. And there's some hope, some optimism, I'm told, including around Kyrie Irving, that revisiting may also include performers and athletes such as Kyrie Irving. Now, that's 2 months away before he takes office on January 1. The Brooklyn Nets, they have been getting calls from teams about Kyrie Irving, about their interest in discussing trades with him. So how does this fit into the Nets timetable if Kyrie Irving is going to wait into January to see what happens with the new mayor in New York City? How does that impact how the Nets move forward? There's a lot to watch here, Greeny.
All right. Again, Woj on ESPN, and thank you at JMartinezBKN for that video on Twitter.
I will say that is the cadence of a person who is trying very hard to select their words carefully. That is.
I just want to say, again, Eric Adams was talking about city workers, people that work for the government of New York who are required to get the vaccine to work in New York. Sanitation workers, firefighters, teachers, everyone under the sun, right? Who works for the city of New York. He was not talking about basketball players, but it is interesting that Woj is saying that there's optimism from Kyrie's side about the mayor revisiting the vaccine mandate. Now, Eric Adams, a few weeks ago, was asked specifically about the vaccine mandate for performers like Kyrie. And Eric Adams said that he was optimistic that the NBA and Kyrie would reach an agreement, which is like another politician who doesn't seem to understand that it's actually Eric Adams' city that is about to, you know, that has control over that situation. Brian, there's a lot of information that I just laid out there in News Around the League, and I apologize for that.
I'm with it. I'm here. I'm here for it.
Do anything that I said, does it open up? Is there a window that has been opened up of optimism? Is there a door that's been left slightly ajar from which you view a possibility that Kyrie Irving can play for the Nets and not get vaccinated?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're reevaluating things, part of the reevaluation can be the live event space mandate. So, you know, sure. But I think the timeline is not enough time. You know, that's not like they're going to be revisiting it January 1st. And then what, how soon before all that negotiation is resolved? And then, I mean, by that time, this is, we're talking months out. I want this to happen soon, Mike. I want this to be done with.
That's a really good point. The January 1st is when Eric Adams goes into office. And I don't want to get too depressing, but typically viruses like coronavirus, they pick up steam in the winter when people are more indoors, packed in, flu season. We saw the spikes last winter. I pray that we won't have a spike in COVID cases in the winter. But let's just imagine that's probably the most likely scenario. It would be then unlikely that a politician, a newly elected politician, whilst a spike is going on, is going to come in and allow, like, one of the first things that he's going to do is allow Kyrie Irving to play basketball. So even if it, even if we're trying to be optimistic here, it's probably going to take a little bit of time for that change to occur. And my concern, and it's in that Woj report, that there's optimism from Kyrie's side, is what he said, that the mandate could change. So I think it decreases Kyrie Irving's motivation to get vaccinated because he thinks, oh, in 2 months' time, I'm going to be able to play and I'm not going to be vaccinated and I get the best of both worlds. I get to be unvaccinated and not play basketball. That's, I guess that's my concern about this. But there is the optimism that he'll get to play basketball. I guess if you view it optimistic that there's less vaccinated people in the world, which is a weird thing to say, like, what do we, you know, we're going to get brigaded again.
Yeah. I mean, better late than never, maybe, I guess. I don't know. I'll be really interested to see what the vibe is around like his teammates and stuff when he comes back. I'm sure. I mean, he seems generally like super well-liked, so I guess I'm not that worried about it, but like, I don't know. That's a lot of time to miss just to kind of like, be like, are you guys stoked that I didn't get vaxxed? Like, we all get vaxxed. Nobody cares. Like, you should have been here. Like, it's just annoying. So fine.
We all have to go on that eight game road trip in like Denver and Utah, and you've been playing flag football,
touch football, Mike. They didn't even have the flags. It's the lowest form of recreational football.
That's even less COVID.
Yeah,
COVID
exactly.
Safe.
They're touching on all over each other. Yeah. Anyways, that's how I'll feel. I mean, that's how I would feel about it, just because I'm a petty bitch. But you know, that's. That's just me. I can't speak for the rest of them.
Can I tell you what's, this is breaking the fourth wall here a little bit. It was like a year ago. Brian and I had the opportunity to interview Eric Adams. Do you remember this? I won't say who would have allowed us to interview Eric Adams, but we were offered a chance to interview Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams way before I think he even announced that he was running for mayor. And now I'm like, maybe we should have done that.
Yeah.
That would be good to have that contact at this point.
That's true. We can go back. Let's get get that, fire that DM back up.
We'll get that back going.
He's probably got some spare time right now to pop on.
Next up on News Around the League, ding dong, the Knicks are dead.
I like the ding dong versus the bing bong. Is that,
did
you do
that? That was me.
Was that you? Yep. Wow.
Welcome. You're welcome, New York Post, New York Daily News, Newsday.
Yeah, somebody's gonna steal
this
that.
This from the New York Post. Headline, Knicks suffer second straight defeat and ugly loss to the Pacers. Mark Berman, of course, from the Post, writing about this. It discusses how things are a bit shaky in Knicks land. They lost in a really, as he says, humiliating loss at home to Toronto. And then they allowed the Knicks or the Pacers to score the first 11 points in Wednesday's game and never got the lead again. And the Knicks are now 5-3 on the season, the exact record that the Nets are. But Knicks team, the Knicks fan base is a little scared. Brian, are you happy?
Of course. Yeah, obviously. I mean, like, it goes without saying that they were going to come back to Earth. I don't know what they're like. They had some outrageous 3-point percentage coming into the last two games. I watched them lose to the Raptors delightfully. Yeah, of course. I mean, like, we've talked about this as part of a healthy diet of basketball watching is having one team that you root for against, you know, everybody, and one team you root against anybody. If the Knicks play the Lakers in the finals, I'm rooting for the Lakers, which is how deep my pettiness goes. So yeah, obviously I'm stoked on that. But like, also, like, it had to happen. Like, this is classic Knicksian stuff. I mean, it's not classic because they actually came out of the gate like pretty hot.
No, that's actually that is classic because.
Is
if
it?
You think,
yeah, I guess that's
when
right.
they signed Amari Stoudemire, but they had yet to trade for Carmelo, they came out of that season really hot too. There's been multiple times where they started off like 7-3 or something, and then they go on like a 14 game losing streak, and then the coach gets fired. I can't say that that's going to happen here, but if you can watch on our YouTube, and I'll say this for the podcast audience, here's who their upcoming schedule. Okay, and so if you're feeling shaky about the Knicks, now to flip out over two games is that's classic Knicks knee-jerk reaction. They've only lost two games in a row, but here's who they have coming up. They go to Milwaukee in a shaky Milwaukee team themselves on Friday. They play the Cavs at home, at Philly, home for the Bucks, at the Hornets, three-game home stretch, which is pretty easy, Pacers, Magic, Rockets, then at the Bulls, the surprise team in the NBA, Lakers, Suns at home, at Hawks, at Nets, November 30th.
Okay.
Then again, home Bulls, home Nuggets. I mean, that's a pretty tough.
That's all in a row
That's all the games in a row. The easiest Bulls games are that Magic, Rockets, two home dates. But everything around that, those are all, I mean, the Cavs are better this year. They're more interesting this year. The Pacers are tough. They can be a tough squad, and Malcolm Brogdon maybe will be back. Caris LeVert's back. I'm just portraying there's a scenario out there, Bri, where they're like 8-11 coming out of that, right? And there's still like many more games after that that are hard. In December, they play the Bucks and Warriors and Celtics. Now, the Celtics are kind of blowing up too. But there's a scenario where this magic of Kemba Walker for three games doesn't exist. Julius Randle isn't back to what he was. And it's really the Evan Fournier, RJ Barrett show. And this team is underwhelming. And the whole bing-bong energy will be ding-dong energy.
Gets a little more ding-dong. Ding-dong versus bing-bong is great. If we can make ding-dong happen in somewhere in Nets Twitter as a counter.
Ding-dong, the Knicks are dead.
To bing-bong.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good. It's not bad. Mike, every time we do this, I'm reminded of how badly I need to send you a link to an ad block.
I know. I was thinking that. Next up, news around the league, the silent Simmons. Ben, this is from ESPN, Ramona Shelburne and Adrian Wojnarowski. I will quote, the Philadelphia 76ers are increasingly frustrated with the Ben Simmons refusal to accept organizational assistance to address his mental readiness to play, sources told ESPN. While Simmons has been working with team doctors to treat a back ailment, which is crazy because he doesn't play basketball, he has been unwilling to meet with team doctors to discuss his mental readiness. He is, in fact, working with mental health professionals via the National Basketball Players Association since the summer. Now, I bring this up for this specific reason. The 76ers, they go from, we want Ben Simmons back. He comes back. He has a cell phone in his pocket in practice. The next day, Doc Rivers banned him from practice because he doesn't do what he wants him to do. Then there's reports about how listless he is. And Joel Embiid comes out publicly and says, you know, I don't care about Ben Simmons at all anymore, essentially. Then they have this dramatic team meeting where they come out and they support Ben Simmons. And Ben Simmons talks about his mental health. And everyone, including Tobias Harris, comes out publicly and says, hey, we're supporting Ben Simmons. Now we have this report that the 76ers are upset that Simmons is accepting their own mental health assistance that they're willing to give. Back and forth, back and forth. Contrast that with what's happening in Brooklyn. The Nets have only, the only thing we have ever heard, there's been no negative comments at all. We've heard not a single source report about how truly, if the Nets, how Sean Marks feels. I'm sure he's frustrated with Kyrie Irving, but we haven't heard about it. We haven't heard about how frustrated Josiah may be. All we've actually heard from Josiah is he's been willing to give interviews where he says he's supporting Kyrie. The Nets support Kyrie, but they have, you know, they have their own system with which they have to go forward with. The Nets are handling their situation very well, and the Sixers are a debacle.
Discord all over the Atlantic Division, Michael. Celtics could just naturally suck. Sixers are in disarray. Knicks, ding-dong, free fall. I mean, it's delicious. And the Raptors are actually kind of spicy, you know? I'll give it to them. They're kind of playing some spicy
Speaking
basketball.
Speaking of the Celtics, Celtics crumbling. The Celtics player, this is from The Athletic. Get yourself behind that paywall, theathletic.com/glueguys.
Get yourself
Jared Weiss. A Celtics player is confronting issues after team dinner preludes victory in Orlando. So already this season, the Celtics have had a players-only meeting where I guess essentially the point was, hey, you two best players, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you guys have to start actually caring about other players on the team, meaning like, you know, pass the ball. Marcus Smart, before they had a team meeting less than 10 games into the season, Marcus Smart said publicly, the two guys, our two best players, don't pass the ball. And every team knows it. And at the end of the games, they just play defense against those two guys because they don't pass the ball. And they have the ball in their hands.
Yep.
Bill Simmons, friend of the show, I guess, said he has publicly gone on Twitter to bash this team and how much he hates this season so far and all this stuff, which I think he does express a certain fan sentiment. I think we can say that.
Sure. How can he not?
Brian, are you happy?
Of course. But also, I mean, I got to tell you, I feel like we called this on this show. Like, the idea that the Celtics can just trot out that same core now, what, 5 years, 4 years over, and having had them pretty conspicuously crest, yes, 3 years ago, and just continued a downward trend. Like, it's gonna bottom out. You're gonna get to the bottom of this thing, and here we are. I mean, like, it's, I also, you know, I've long held that Jason Tatum is like a, like, has leadership issues. His in that one interview, I just deduced a lot of maybe like egocentric kind of qualities that I didn't expect him to have. So I'm again not surprised to hear that there's like a intervention happening where it's like, dude, you are like supposed to be a leader, but you kind of suck right now, and it's annoying. And having to have dinner about that is not surprising to me. So the idea, like, we talked about this a couple episodes ago, but that, like, a bunch of people had the Celtics at third in the East and stuff, and I was just like, no fucking way. Just no way that's going to happen.
I was so, like, I thought, I believed it because so many people had the Celtics high up in their, like, standings, projected standings for the end of the year. I was like, okay, maybe I'm just, like, missing something. You know, the people were pointing to the fact that Al Horford was brought back, and that Josh Richardson was on the team, and they got Dennis Schroeder for nothing. And my feeling was, Josh Richardson sucks. Like, he's
yeah, he didn't have a good season for like multiple
seasons.
Yeah, and
I'm not trying to be mean, but like, he just hasn't been that good.
It's been passed around. He's in Landry Shamet territory. No disrespect to either of them, but
Al Horford's older, and it'd be great if he was a buyout guy and on the Nets. Be excellent. He'd be LaMarcus Aldridge, but he's, you know, high-valued, high-salary dude on the Celtics. And Dennis Schroeder, his market value was what his market value was. And in fact, he's like the exact opposite kind of point guard you'd want for this team. You know, the problem with this team, and their players are talking about it, they don't have a true Chauncey Billups-type point guard, right? The person that can set up the offense, get the ball to a bunch of different people, actually elevate the role players as opposed to just focusing on Jaylen and Jason. They're 3-5. It's early. It's concerning that Ime Udoka, who we love, big fan of him with the Nets, big fan of his presence on the sidelines during Nets games, but that the team felt like that they needed to have a players only meeting already when Udoka was partly brought in to sort of more understand the current NBA player than Brad Stevens, right? Like, that was, he's a former NBA player, and he was brought in to kind of fix the locker room in some way, and the locker room's just as disarrayed. And you bring up the fact that their core had crested. Just simply look at the amount of talent that has left that building, and they've got nothing back for it, essentially. Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, Al Horford had left for nothing. They got Kemba Walker, and they trade Kemba Walker for an older Al Horford. You know, that is, that's a demolition of talent over many, many years. And Jalen and Jason are both have been ascending, and they're both better players than they were 2 years ago. But there's too much talent that left that building. And yet, what's different? Danny Ainge isn't there, but Brad Stevens is. And the moves that he's made is basically to pay, you know, to pay these role players more money. Marcus Smart, he gave him an extension, and to bring in Josh Richardson on a deal that no one in the world thought that they should do. So, am I happy?
I also just, think like people also ignore the fact that Jaylen Brown is very similar to Jason Tatum, and that they kind of want to just take turns doing mid-rangey yes. offense. Like, they're kind of like smaller Carmelo Anthony's in their in his heyday in New York. I've often held that they've, especially like when we watched that playoff series last season, like you get a special insight during a playoff series of like what's good and what's bad. But, and I just knew that that team was not going to like be able to fix these problems with those two guys. Like, one of them's got to go. That's sort of how I feel.
I kind of wanted to do, so there's one other story, and we're recording this, and the big Robert Sarver allegations of racism and misogyny story from ESPN that had been floated out 2 weeks ago is out. Now, I haven't read it, so I really don't want to try to like roughshod the story. You know, it exists,
yeah.
and
yeah, let's,
everyone should yeah. read it and get understand what picture they want about it. Before we go, quick look at the Eastern Conference standings. The Heat are number one seed so far, 6-1 on the year. Then you have a pack of teams from 2 to 9. Who have either 6 or 5 wins, and the Nets and the Knicks are in there. It's the goes Sixers, Bulls, Raptors, Nets, Wizards, Knicks, Cavaliers, and Hornets. And then right below them are the Bucks and Hawks. I think there's a lot to be figured out. We are just 10% of the way through the year. The Nets on the upcoming schedule. So they just went through a crucial stretch, and they've been looking pretty good. They have a Pistons game coming up, another great Pistons game. They're on the road for 6 games at Pistons, at Raptors, at Bulls, at Orlando, at New Orleans, and at the Thunder, Bri. Those are some tasty, delicious morsels of matchups.
Maybe some wins.
That's some dubs.
Only 2 potential L's I see on that in Toronto and Chicago, but
we shall see. Yeah, and they play Detroit on Friday, then Sunday it's at Toronto, and then right away they go to Chicago and play in a back-to-back. It is like a half game back-to-back, meaning the Sunday game's 3:30 yeah. tip and the Chicago game's an 8 p.m. one. So there's a little bit, I guess there's extra distance, but that's quite an easy road trip. And if this team is operating at full capacity, dude, let's sweep. Just get a sweep.
Let's sweep it. Let's sweep it.
Ryan?
Going to Michigan. Going to Ohio.
The Nets are back.
Take us out of here, Mike.
You can find us on Twitter at BKGlueGuysNetsDaily.com, The Athletic. Get yourself behind that paywall at TheAthletic.com. If you're on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars. We need them. We want to have them. Our YouTube is back. You can watch this show and all other episodes on our YouTube. Search Glue Guys. What is it now? Is it just Glue Guys Nets Pod? Or did you want to make it the SEO friendly?
It's just the Glue Guys.
The Glue Guys. Yeah.
But I'll, you know, you put Glue Guys podcast and you can't miss us. You can't
thank
miss
you all so much for listening. The Nets are back.
See you soon, guys. See you soon, Mike. We're out of here. Bye bye. We're really good. I'm